Right now, let's talk some college football.
Yeah, we got some interesting stories in the world of college football, not the least of which the preseason polls, which are now both out. The polls don't mean quite as much as they used to with the college football playoff and the committee and all of that, but it does give you an indication as to what people are thinking about these schools as we enter the football season. No surprise, atop the AP and the coaches poll, Alabama. They get the majority of first place votes in each poll. They're always going to be number one, number two, number three. They've got a quarterback who won the Heisman last year, who returns this year. They're as stacked as any team in college football. They are not the defending champions, but they once again are the number one team in the preseason polls.
Anytime, it seems like any time they bring back a starting quarterback, they're an automatic number one.
Yeah, and it's really hard to make much of an argument against them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the usual suspects, once again, pretty much throughout the top 10. We talk year in and year out about parity in college football, but I think we're getting further and further away from that. The top 10 rarely changes. It's all the big names. And what we're about to talk about, I think, is going to further widen the gap, and there'll be less talk about parity, although maybe there'll be a little more talk about parity amongst the top 20 or 30 teams. But two is Ohio State. Stop me if you've heard that before.
Can't.
Three is Georgia. The champs with that incredible defense that now is pretty much all in the NFL.
Yeah, they're going to have to rebuild that defense. Something tells me, though, that they probably will.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still loaded. Four is Clemson. Expecting a bit of a bounce back. They had a down season last year. Five is Notre Dame. Now, for a long time, Notre Dame has been the team that no matter what their prospects were, they were going to be in the preseason top 10. People are just going to rubber stamp them in. I think we have a new team that fills that category, which we'll get to here in a little bit, but Notre Dame still in many ways fills that category.
Yeah, new coach. We'll see on them. That is the top five we've had for the last top five teams, not necessarily the same order for five straight years.
Number six in the AP poll, those first five were the same in both. Six in the AP poll is A&M, and the Aggies are seventh in the coaches poll. And I think A&M is going to be a really good team this year, but Mike Craven, who follows college football, tweeted yesterday that he was surprised that they were that high considering they ended last season with a four-game conference losing streak and they have questions at quarterback.
Yeah.
He says it shows that there's a lot of belief around Jimbo and all these recruiting classes that they're going to finally figure it out this year.
They could. I mean, if it's all about recruiting, they've been doing a really good job of it these last three or four years. So, but yeah, I think a lot of it does revolve around if they get productivity out of the quarterback position.
Seven in the AP poll is Utah. They're eighth in the coaches poll. And then eight in the AP poll is Michigan. They're sixth in the coaches poll. Then you get to Oklahoma. The Sooners are ninth in both of the polls. This is going to be a really interesting year for Oklahoma because they lost so many players in the transfer portal once Lincoln Riley defected. And that's a loss to their head coach to USC. And so now we'll see. Brent Venables has done really well in the transfer portal, getting Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback. His recruiting classes these next couple of years, he just keeps stacking four- and five-star recruits. So I think the future is bright for Oklahoma under Venables. I just don't know about this season.
Yeah, they're a real wild card team. It's interesting looking top 10 teams and some others at their two deeps. Just about everybody, isn't this something, has 5 to 6, if you added up both offense and defense, that are senior transfer starters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is just it. And outside of Bama and a few others, but I mean, that's just how everyone's roster looks.
Never before have you needed a roster to sit down in September and try to figure out who's playing for which school.
I'm telling you, you got to do some serious research.
It's crazy this year. I think the Big 12 will be a battle between Oklahoma and Baylor. They're right there locked together in these polls. Baylor is 10 in both polls. Oklahoma's 9. And Oklahoma State's going to figure into it as well. They're 12 in the AP and 11 in the coaches poll. So those are your three that seem to be far and away ahead of everybody else in the Big 12. The debate is Texas. How good is Texas going to be? Well, in the coaches poll, when it came out a few days earlier before the AP poll, Texas was 18th. On the strength of one first place vote.
Who did that?
Well, there are three candidates that most believe. Stan Drayton, the new Temple head coach, he's got a vote. He was the Texas running backs coach and just went to Temple. UTSA's Jeff Traylor, a lot of people think he voted for Texas. And a lot of people think it was Nick Saban because Sarkisian was on his staff and because Alabama plays Texas in September. And he wanted them as high as possible so that if and when they beat him, that looks like a better win. Because without that first place vote, who knows where Texas would have been in the AP poll. They were not ranked. So without all the points they got from that first place vote in the coaches poll, without those points, they may not have been ranked in the coaches poll either. So a lot of people believe he's the number one candidate. By the way, Sarkisian doesn't have a vote in the coaches poll, so it wasn't him voting for his own team, if you can even do that.
He's got enough problems.
Which I think
right
you can.
Now. Yeah, that does make sense about Saban. Yeah. I could see him doing that. Hey, let's get as many ranked opponents on there.
Yep. People are always criticizing our non-con, so let's pump up this non-conference.
All right,
opponent.
You guys just keep writing that, okay? All right.
Yeah. So the polls are always interesting, but as we know, you never really know. We'll find out. I do love the preseason polls because it gets my college football juices flowing, but I also agree that no polls should come out until the 1st of October. You need a month to see what these teams are really all about.
It's pretty ridiculous. Some of these teams hang in there, and then some we just laugh at. They were a preseason top 10?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Nick Saban, he was on with Dan Patrick recently, Ticket's own Dan Patrick. And he was talking about all of this realignment and the mega conferences and everything. He had a couple of really interesting things to say. He said, it's probably going to be good for some people and bad for others because not everybody's going to be able to compete at this level. It'll create a separation. Like at least probably 50% of the schools that are considered Division I schools now will not be able to compete in the new way. He did then say, now maybe they'll come up with some kind of way like they do in soccer over in Europe, I think. I don't completely understand it. He's talking about relegation. And I think that's really interesting because he goes on to talk about the mega conferences. He says, I think we're headed in the direction, like it or not, of mega conferences, two or three of them. And that's where the playoff teams will come from. And I think there's no doubt we're headed in that direction. Probably two. But if the ACC can hold things together through their current TV deal and maybe poach along the way, I think there could be three mega conferences. If there's a third, it's going to be the ACC. There's an outside chance that if the Big 12 and Pac-12 could get together and merge, then maybe whatever they've got left would be attractive enough to a TV deal or this new mega conference formation where they could be the third conference, but I think that's highly unlikely. Most people believe it'll be two. The Big Ten further expanding and the SEC further expanding, and that'll be your new Division One. I think he's right about that. Relegation would be really interesting because you would assume that almost immediately Rutgers and Vanderbilt are going to be relegated down to whatever the new Division Two is, and then your top couple of schools come up. It creates a lot of logistics, but if they can do this in pro soccer in Europe, why can't they do it in college football here? I think they'll explore it at least.
They might. At least have it bring the competition thing back into it.
Yeah.
So you're not just saying, well, it's based on a TV market. It's based on what you do on the field.
If this model happens, and I think it will, the other 50% that are no longer in the mega conferences and a different form of Division I, I think they're going to have a really tough decision. We talk about it now all the time, how unfair it is that most half of the Division I schools, the Group of Five, they really aren't allowed to compete for the championship. It's the only college sport where that's a deal. So I think if these mega conferences separate, and let's say the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are left over, they're going to have a really interesting decision. Do we continue to call ourselves Division I? Group of Five schools will have this too. Or do we just go form our own thing where we actually get to play for a national championship? Do we let the mega conferences do their thing and they can crown their real Division I, or by then what I think will be a pro, a semi-pro league? And do we then break from them and say, well, we want to be able to play for a national championship too, so let's form our own whatever we're going to call it, 1AA or other, I don't know what you'd call it. But you'd have 60, 70 schools there. I think that's what they should eventually do. I think that's what they will eventually do. Otherwise, they're just going to feel like the little brother that's completely left out of Big Brother's games.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. They keep trying until they're told they're not in the club, and then they probably do some form, I don't know what you call it, but yeah, some sort of group where they can play for a title. Some of them, even Group of Five, may even look at dropping football. You're not on Mama.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I think the writing's on the wall. And if even Nick Saban sees it, and he's been pretty resistant to this, but he knows he's in the catbird seat,
yeah,
coaching that school for as long as he wants to. If even Nick Saban sees the future model, I think we're going to get there sooner than later.
But even with him, I bet this transfer portal stuff is... And NIL, I know.
Yeah.
He's already said as much. It's driving him nuts.
It's driving him nuts, but I think he also knows that he's going to survive very well in it.
Yeah, they'll still thrive, I would imagine.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.